Jesus a paralytic laying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you."
What a title for a sermon, isn't it? Friends of a Paralytic. Usually we think of just the story of the man who was brought to Jesus and was healed. But this is also about his friends. In the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 2 through 8, we'll discover how Jesus not only heals the paralytic man, but we'll learn two important lessons about friendship that will change everything we thought we knew about living the Christian life. This powerful story from the New Testament highlights the healing power of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and both faith and four friends who wouldn't give up. Whether you're looking for insight into physical healing, encouragement during hard times, or a reminder of God's grace, this story offers real hope. We'll explore the compassion of Jesus, his authority to forgive sins, and how his touch can transform lives today. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Sabbath day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this story. We pray that we will learn a lesson from it and just know what it was to be in that time for this man to come and do all that he possibly could to be standing in front of Jesus. And oh, if we would just be that way today, do everything that we possibly could to be with Jesus. So please take the messenger out of this message that your message may run true and clear. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. So, what is the meaning of Matthew 9 through 8? 2, 9 through 8. And I'll read the whole thing here pretty soon. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus heals the paralytic man. At first glance, this man's story seems like a pretty sad one. And he doesn't seem like anyone that we would want to be like. After all, he must have known a thing or two about facing difficult times. And who wants a life like that? I'm sure he didn't. We at times like to compare ourselves to the people from the Bible. And it's usually the strong, noble ones we turn to for inspiration. Like Esther and her unwavering faith in the face of adversity. Or Paul's resolute attitude about his imprisonment. They did amazing things for the kingdom of God. And sometimes we are like them. Empowered and ready to fight the good fight. But other times, we are weak. And that's okay. There are so many Bible characters who went through hard times. People like this paralyzed man that Jesus healed. And we are meant to learn from their experiences too. I know it would be easy to skip over this part of the Bible and read something else. But God's word is clear. This man and his four friends knew something so important we can't afford to pass over it. So, let's read their story and learn two life-changing lessons from this often overlooked Bible verse. Then behold, they brought to him, with Jesus, a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemies." But Jesus knew what was in their thoughts and said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise. Take up your bed and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. The Desire of Ages, Ellen White writes, "Jesus was teaching in the house of Peter. According to their custom, his disciples sat close about him, and there were Pharisees, doctors of the law, sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. These had come as spies, seeking an accusation against Jesus. Outside of these officials thronged a promiscuous multitude, the eager, the reverent, the curious, and the unbelieving. Different nationalities and all grades of society were presented. Ellen White quotes in Luke 5, verse 17, which says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal. The spirit of life brooded over the assembly, but Pharisees and doctors did not discern his presence. They felt no sense of need, and the healing was not for them." Again, she quotes Luke 1, verse 53. "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away, empty away." Obviously, the paralyzed man could not walk or call to Jesus. He had to have help. Mark describes that help as four men, driven by compassion and faith. The four men carried the paralyzed man to the side. However, they did not find a way to go in to meet Jesus, which is recorded in Mark 2. But the four men persevered. Now that we have a background for the story of the paralytic, we can take a closer look at his story. The paralytic and his four friends arrived at Peter's house and saw all the people gathered there. Can you imagine just what was going through their minds when they saw all the people? How are we going to get close to the house, no less get in to see Jesus? They tried to work their way in, but to no avail. But these friends didn't give in, did they? No. The paralytic urged his friends to break through the roof of the house and lower him down to Jesus. And that's just what they did. Now I can imagine what was going through Peter's mind. After all, this was his house and his home. Peter jumps up and starts yelling at those breaking into his house. "What are you guys doing? Stop that!" Right? Well, I certainly would. And I can also see Jesus touching Peter and saying softly, "Peter, it's all right. I've got this." And he turns to the crippled man, forgives the crippled man his sins, and heals him. Now, the narrative of the friends of the paralytic underscores the power of intercessory faith and the communal aspect of faith in action. The friends' determination and belief in Jesus' healing power exemplifies the importance of supporting one another in faith. Their actions illustrate the length to which believers should go to bring others to Christ. Overcoming obstacles with creativity and persistence. Moreover, this account is pivotal in revealing Jesus' divine authority. By forgiving the paralytic sin, Jesus asserts his identity as the Son of God, possessing the authority to forgive sins, a prerogative reserved for God alone. This act serves as a profound declaration of his divine nature and his mission. Now, just a little cultural and historical context I'm going to give here. In the first century Jewish context, physical ailments were often associated with sin, either personal or ancestral. The friends' actions and Jesus' response challenge this notion, emphasizing that while sin and suffering are realities of the fallen world, Jesus has the power to address both. Amen. The act of lowering the paralytic through the roof also reflects the architectural style of Palestinian homes, which often had flat roofs. Accessibility by an external staircase allowed for such an entry. The account of the friends of the paralytic encourages believers to exhibit faith that is active and communal. It calls Christians to be persistent in their efforts to bring others to Christ, trusting in his power to heal and to forgive. Additionally, it serves as a reminder of Jesus' divine authority and his compassionate response to faith, urging believers to approach him with confidence in his ability to transform their lives. This one passage of Scripture has the divine power to change your life, for in it we find the simple truth that solves everything, solves every problem we face. Faith in Jesus Christ. So what was the paralyzed man and his friend's secret? They had faith that Jesus would heal him, if only they could find a way to get him in front of the Savior. Because of what happened when Jesus healed the paralyzed man, we see that when we are weak, having faith in our Savior is what we need most. And in times of crisis, getting an audience with him should be our first priority. So how do we do that? When we take a closer look, the paralyzed man and his friends show us there are two ways to seek Jesus when we need help. Let's take a look at those 2 points. First point, we are like the paralyzed man carried to Jesus. The paralytic man knew he couldn't get to Jesus on his own. The crowd was too big. His legs were too weak. The lesser man would have admitted defeat and moved on. But not this man. He had faith that Jesus could and would heal him if only he could find a way to break through the crowd and get in front of him. He must have been desperate to be healed after a life of pain. So in his weakness, the paralyzed friends carried him to Jesus. Just like this man, we all have times of weakness and desperation, don't we? It may be physical, it may be emotional, it may be mental, or it may be spiritual pain. But whatever the cause, we need a friend, or four in this case, to carry us to the Savior. Because sometimes we're simply not strong enough to get to Jesus on our own. In our pain, they are the light that leads us to Jesus, the only one who can truly heal us of our hurt. Point number two, we are like the paralyzed man's four friends carrying him to Jesus. Now, I'm sure that you've heard many quotes for hard times. One of my favorites is an oldie but goodie. When the going gets tough, that's right, the tough get going, absolutely. These men of faith believed Jesus would heal their friend as much as the paralytic man himself did. So when getting close to Jesus was tough, they didn't stand by and wait for the crowd to die down. They didn't stand by and wait for the crowd to die down or for Jesus to come to them. Instead, they devised a brilliant plan to get their friend in front. While these are some great friends, they didn't give up when their friend needed them. And as well, neither should we. Sometimes our loved ones are weak, and it's our turn to carry them to Jesus. As much as we want to fix whatever is hurting them, the best thing that we can do is pray for them and point them to Jesus so that he can heal their pain. In closing, I would like to ask you 2 questions to think about. Number one, are you experiencing hard times? And number two, are you wondering how I can get Jesus to help me? The truth is, we're not always strong. Sometimes we're weak, but that's okay. Because our Lord Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the words that was recorded here and given to us, the story of Jesus and how he healed the paralytic, but also the faith of the paralytic. And his 4 friends. We take that to heart. May we never cease praying for our loved ones and for our friends and for those who are in need. Amen.
also that we may never forget that we need to pray for our loved ones, especially for our kids who are not in the believers of Christ. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to their hearts and that they may accept Him as their personal Savior. May you give us a blessing this day. Go with us. Those that are going home, for those that are sitting here for fellowship meal, we ask all these things in Christ's wonderful name.